All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 27. Proverbs, chapter 27. Oh, the miracle of God's grace that God would move upon a man to pen words of wisdom. Words that there's no possible way we'd ever know apart from these scriptures right here. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 22 says this: though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Now, according to the scriptures, man by nature believes himself to be one that is not. Now, this is what man believes about himself. He's not an out-and-out rebel against God. Man doesn't see himself, being born in Adam, as one who is deceived according to the things of God. He does not believe himself to be openly and gladly a sinner against God. He doesn't believe that he mocks or snubs his nose at God's word. Rather, man by nature believes himself capable of pleasing God. He believes himself to be, if he so chooses, to reconcile himself back to God by doing some works of righteousness, self-righteousness. And he believes he can honor God's law in himself. He believes he can walk with consistency, all according to his free will. But listen, I'm going to read a few scriptures here that refute those thoughts. And we've got to come to this point. Let God be true, and let all of us be a liar. Let God be true and man a liar. So here's what God has to say about a man born in Adam, just a man born with no knowledge of God. The scripture we're talking about in verse 22, we're talking about a fool, a fool. Now, what is a fool? I don't want to know what man says a fool is. I want to know what God says a fool is. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, I looked these words up, so I wanted to know. I want to know, what does it mean? What is a fool? Well, that word fool comes from a word which means perverse. Perverse. Okay. Well, what does perverse mean? I've heard that word before. What does perverse mean? Here's what it is. Those who possess a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way, this is before God now, which is unreasonable, unacceptable, in spite of the consequences. That's what perverse means. That's what a fool does. The scripture says that we're all going to die and we're going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account according to the books or being found in the book himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. A fool is one who despises or disrespects or treats with contempt wisdom and instruction. Now, Christ, according to Proverbs 8, I won't read all these scriptures. You've seen them. You've heard them. For sake of time, but Christ is the wisdom of God. When we talk about wisdom, we're talking about the Lord himself. He despises wisdom and instruction. It is Christ who is the wisdom of God, and the discipline and correction of his word. Here's what Proverbs 7:22 says. Now, this is that passage speaking of that simple man. We've read this, that simple man void of understanding, enticed by, the scripture says, a woman with the attire of a harlot. The unregenerate, that is a simple man. He goes after this woman who is a picture, according to the scriptures in Revelation, of false religion. And when I say false religion, what do I mean? I'll just sum it up very quickly. All false religion is that teaching or that doctrine which makes man to be the one that makes the decision, or man makes the choice, or man calls the shots, and God wants him. He's wanting him to do it, but he's got to wait on man to do it. That's false religion. Anything, salvation is of the Lord. If it's not salvation totally by the sovereign grace and will of Almighty God, God chose, God determined, God's will, God calls. Man is the recipient of the grace of God. So any teaching that makes God be wanting to do something if man will let him, if man will choose, that's false. That's false. I prove this from scriptures. Salvation's of the Lord. So the scripture's talking about this fool. He goes straightway as an ox goeth to slaughter, he says, or as a fool to the correction of stocks. He goes after that which is contrary to God's word, and he does it suddenly, quickly, agreeably, longing after it. Why? Because it feeds his flesh. It makes him feel good. Listen to Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock of sin. They make a mouth at, you know. They mock it. They mock sin. Meaning he commits rebellion against God. Cheerfully, lightly, and makes a joke of the rebuke of God's word. I mean, I'll tell you this. Let me just go ahead and just say this is me by nature. It's all of us. But this is the way we are. This is what God has to say about a fool, a man born in Adam with no knowledge of what God has to say. He takes pleasure in rebelling against God. Proverbs 16:22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, that hath understanding, a true understanding of ourselves, of our helplessness, our rebellion, our hopelessness apart from the grace of God, and the God-revealed knowledge that is had through the preaching of the gospel. There's some things that I'm saying right here that none of us would know. We wouldn't know this. Everybody would have their own opinion about it. But there's a standard. There's a foundation. And what is it? It's this book. It's this book right here. The Word of God. So the scripture says understanding of who I am, understanding who God is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. How'd he get it? God had to give it to him. He wasn't born with it. He didn't contrive it by trying to figure it out himself, you know. But the instruction of fools is folly. Understanding is a wellspring to him that's got it. But the instruction of fools. Now, some think that the scripture is saying that the instruction which a fool gives, but the instruction of fools is folly. The instruction that a fool gives is folly. That means that they don't know. Without knowing what God's word has to say, they don't know what true instruction is. And that's true. That is true. But actually the scripture is saying more that the instruction or the chastisement or the warning or the restraint or correction that is given to a fool when they hear the message of the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. When I say sovereign grace, what do I mean? I mean God is the boss. That's what I'm saying. God is God. When they hear that, that is folly to them. They hear that and they'll say, no, that's silliness. That's foolishness. I've told you before. I heard the gospel of God's sovereign grace. I heard it years and years and years ago. And my immediate reaction in myself was, you're the most deceived person I've ever seen in my life. God wants to save everybody. God loves everybody, and God is. But do you know when God taught me the truth of these words, and I realized that God does what He wants to do, then I realized that what I thought was foolishness and silliness wasn't. It was according to these scriptures. So knowing something about what a fool is, then the scripture, I'm going back now to verse 22, and it says, though thou shouldest bray. What does that mean? Pound and grind. Though thou shouldest bray a fool, one that despises instruction, one that makes a mock at sin, one that doesn't, he will not bow to God's word if God doesn't do something for him, a fool. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle. You know what, you've seen. Though thou shouldest bray him with a mortar, a pestle in a mortar, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. What does that mean? Even though you take a man, a woman, and here it is, this is all of us by nature, and you pound them with trials, tribulations, and troubles, and on and on and on. Though the chastisement, the wrath of God is what I'm saying. It goes, God's pounding on. You know, whenever the Lord sent the flood, Scripture says in Genesis 6:5 that the Lord saw. He saw that the foolishness of man. Man was only evil. Continued. Every thought of man's heart was only evil. Man by nature says, I don't think. Every thought I think is not evil. Listen. Let's hear what God has to say. And let's believe Him. When the Lord sent the flood, God destroyed everybody. All the speculations on how many people were on the earth at that time. I mean, they, millions and millions and millions. You know how many people He spared? Eight souls. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. And all those animals that he put in there. And God destroyed the earth. And then after he caused the waters to go back to their place, original place, and men began to multiply out of those eight souls that was left. Do you know what? The state of all men born in themselves, you know what their state was after that? After God had sent and destroyed the earth, wickedness of man was still great. And every thought and imagination of his heart was only evil. Whenever God sent Moses to Egypt, he told him, he said, you go tell Pharaoh that I said to let my people go. And Moses did. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? And God sent plague after plague after plague the harshest of judgments. And do you know that all of that judgment that was sent didn't change one thing in Pharaoh? Pharaoh's heart was hardened against the Lord. The thought, the belief that an unregenerate can, by affliction, cause that affliction could cause that man, that woman, to change their mind and to make that decision to follow after the Lord is false. You could take a rock, you take the hardest rock that's known to man, and you take the most powerful machine, and you pound that rock into the smallest of all pieces. Pound it until it's dust. It's just dust. Pound it. And do you know that every broken piece of that rock is going to retain that native hardness? It's still hard. It's still rock. A sinner may be crushed, but the natural crushing of trials and troubles and tribulations will never humble a man. Never, never. I had somebody that I know very well, very well. Very well. In my family. And they went to the doctor and they were told, "We suspect that you've got this disease. And if it's so, it's fatal. It very, very well probably would be fatal." Oh, I'm telling you, we got serious. It was serious. Serious. They went in, they operated, and it was benign. It was benign. After it was over and recuperation, I made this statement to them. I said, "Listen, what we thought might be the case, I'm so thankful that it wasn't. I'm so thankful. But listen. I want you to consider go sit under the sound of the gospel." I said, "I know a man where you live, less than an hour from where you live. Go sit. I'm not asking you to do it. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm asking you to go sit." "Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar, among wheat with a pestle, yet will his foolishness not depart from him." So here's what I have to say in closing. What then is the hope of a fool? And we're all born fools. If this is offensive, this is God's word. But we're all born this way. What is our hope? Here's what it is. There must be a new birth from above. That's what the Lord told a man named Nicodemus. Here's what the Lord told him. In John 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except." There's one exception. Except. "Except a man be born again," born from above, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." He can't perceive it. Can't. Except he's born again. God must do something for a fool. He must do something for all of us by the omnipotent hand of his power and mercy and grace. Only the Lord. I cannot deliver myself. I can't deliver myself. I got a problem, and my problem is sin against God. I was born this way. I was conceived in sin, came forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner by nature against God. And only God can deliver from the bondage of this foolishness, sin. And how does he do that? He's going to make a new man. Turn to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. He's going to make a new man. That man is revealed in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God must create something. He must create a new man in Christ Jesus, a man that is born from above, not born in Adam, but we're all this way. God's got to make a new man. And that new man created in Christ Jesus is created, and he's not a fool. He's created in righteousness and true holiness. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Listen, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, not merely joining a church or reforming his ways, but rather by a new birth that has been wrought by the hand and power and will of Almighty God. God makes a new man. Again, not according to my works or my decision. He's a new man. He's a new creature. He's a new building, is what it says. A new building. God creates a new man with a new nature. This is what Ezekiel 36 says. 26. I'm going to take out that heart of stone. I'm going to give you a new heart. A pliable heart. A soft heart toward God. He's got a new heart, new spirit. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. Not that he doesn't still possess that old man. That old man is still there. There's still an old man inside of every believer that wars against that new man. There's a struggle that's going on. That old man is not changed. I've still got, and every believer in here does too, I've still got that same hard rebellious nature against God. But in the new creation, things are passed away. That is, that old things that loves the flesh and the things of this world, that which is born of God sinneth not. Are you telling me that there's a new creation that does not sin? No, I'm telling you that God said that there's a new creation that doesn't sin. It's the old thoughts of legal righteousness which flatters man and makes God a helpless beggar is not there in the new man. But rather that new man, he acts from a heart made sensitive to the will of God. God who's sovereign in creation and providence and salvation. There's a new heart there that honors, that respects, and praises the Lord. There's a new man there. So, though a fool, you bray a fool, you pound him to powder. You pound him to powder. Pound him to powder in trouble and tribulation. Listen, his foolishness will not depart from him. You cannot pound with trouble a fool. You can't pound us into submission. We won't do it. It won't depart. But when God Almighty is pleased to come unto one of the vessels of his compassion, mercy, when he's pleased to draw one of his own, that he's everlastingly loved in Christ, according to Ephesians 1:4. And he draws them under the sound of the truth. Sound of the truth is going to tell you about what we are and who God is. That's the truth. But whenever God's pleased to put a sinner, a fool, under the sound of the gospel, and he blesses that word in regenerating grace. As I said a moment ago, that old heart's removed and a new heart of love, a new spirit. I'll tell you something. That man's a new creature. That's a new creature. That's something that's never naturally born into this world. You can't pound it out of him, but God can make him new in Christ. I pray that the Lord be pleased to bless these words to our hearts for the glory of Almighty God and for the good of God's people. Amen. All right, now we're just going to take a little short break, and I'll come back. We'll have our second service.